The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
College football bowl season is in full effect, and the big matchups are happening this week. As you've heard us say many times before, the only place to get in on the action is with our friends at betonline.ag. Create a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code podcast1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus and take advantage of their Refer a Friend program, where you can give a 200% bonus to your friend up to $200. betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen, and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on podcast1.com, and for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. I will tell you, I'm on the grind today. It is bright and early. Joel and I are in studio, and then Joel is going to take me to the airport. I am flying to Las Vegas to be part of the ESPN coverage of the weigh-ins today, the pre-show and the post-show tomorrow on ESPN+. That is my day. Joel, what's happening with you?
What is your favorite Vegas trip? All Vegas trips before you were a cool guy with a bunch of money.
Well, geez, my favorite one in terms of having a good time would be you and I slipped out of town. You and I slipped out to Vegas.
Hey, let's tell that story.
Yeah, one time. Well, what was the game that we played? War.
Hold on. Let me set this. So we are sneaking out of town. The Pat's still around. Your dad, yep. Pat Sonnen, is still around. Cargold is still going on. And Matt Lindland, is wrestling in the world championships. And we just sneak off. I grab a couple grand. You grab a couple grand. And on the flight over, and that's a lot of money. That's all the money in the world. This is before you're cool and rich guy. We decide on the plane that the second we get there, we're going to throw $1,000 down on the field. Take it.
Yes, on that we're going to walk up to a craps table without looking, setting the scene, anything. We each put in $500, so we're going to put $1,000 field bet. Boom, done. And that's exactly what we did. Didn't miss a step. Walked up to the table. Didn't even know who had the dice. It said 1,000 on the field. And it came up snake eyes, which means you get paid double. Not just even money. You get paid what I think they call it triple, but it doubles. Instead of getting our $1,000 back, of course, instead of making $1,000, we get to make $2,000. So now we got $3,000.
Well, and hold on, let me refresh your memory. So it's one of those tables that is off. Remember Krabby Pants?
Oh yeah,
old Crab Ass is running the table by himself. We only had $9.95, but the guy took the bet.
Yes. Yes, I do remember that. So, yeah, that's exactly right. It's one of these tables that was off, which meant it was a high roller's table, which is why Crabass was there all by himself shooting dice. So we walked up. Don't you remember that look Crabass gave us? He was pissed.
Well, didn't know at the time. I mean, me and you, we're bros, but I don't know how your brain works. I don't know if we decide to take, which was at least 30% of all the money we had at the time, and throw it on the field, which is a horrible bet. I didn't know you were really just going to go up there and throw it like you did. I don't even think we checked into our room.
Oh, no, we had not. We just got there, walked just exactly like we had discussed on the plane, walked straight up and threw it down. And don't forget, that was the coming out bet. So we didn't know that. We just walked up, but it turned out that was the coming out bet. They didn't have a marker yet. So snake eyes, that's crap dice, which means crab ass, who's rolling, loses his bet even though we triple ours. So that's,
I did not know that.
That's why he was pissed. He blamed and real dice guys are like that. They're wrong. They're out of their mind, but they are like that in that any distraction, any influctuation on the table, any, you know, setting your money down with your hand puts a weight on the table that changes it. Yes, that's why he gave us that look. He blamed us for that. And you are right. We thought it was $1,000. And when the pit boss counted it out, it wasn't $9.95, it was $9.80. And he goes, pay him. Which we thought was really cool because they could have technically waved off the bet.
Well, and then we
got out of
Dodge.
Ruined our trip. Yeah, we grabbed our dice and left. But I saw Crabass after that. I saw Crabass. He kept shooting dice, and he didn't have the money. He was getting markers, and he was running through those markers.
Oh, we were the coolers. They probably loved us.
Yeah, and he was doing 70 grand markers, and I watched him call for a bunch of those. I mean, he was into them hundreds of grand. They finally cut him off, and he left. And he left mad. He left like a guy that didn't know how he was going to cover that spread. Whether I'm right, wrong, or indifferent about that, but I remember him. Remember we named him Crabass?
Yes, I remember. I also
remember. He got us kicked off. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. So when I saw him later, I was playing with him again. I did the same thing that you and I did, but now I was by myself. I went up to a table, still not realizing that's a high roller table that I'm not allowed to be at, and that it's just him in the house. And he said something about me being there, and they kicked me out. I had to go.
That was a long time ago. You were young. You were young.
So I stood back and watched. Yeah, I was like 24 years old, but I stood back and watched. I watched him get this money. I watched him burn through that money. And as crabby as he was, as much of a dick, got me kicked out, which is embarrassing. Not for nothing. It's embarrassing. Hey, you don't have enough to play here. It's embarrassing. I was still hoping he'd win. I still wanted things to work out for him. I kind of like the crabby guy. Even though he was a dick, I guess, that was something to the gimmick.
I remember the trip because of that. I also remember whatever pot that I had after that, I lost it in about 30 minutes afterwards. Like whatever, you went up to the room, I stayed down there, and I'm tapped out. Now I'm pissed. Our last night there, you're trying to get some sleep or something. I don't have any money, and you give me $350. And I went back down and went on a run and, you know, got up to like $1,500, which was, that was a ton of money.
Sure.
So I remember making a comeback on your money. And
and you remember war?
Yeah, I remember war. The best war story is when Phil Baroni, after the first time we was in Vegas. And
yes.
Me and you won every one of those
bets. In the bathrobe.
Yeah, he had a bathrobe on and just his face beaten to a pulp.
Yes, Phil Baroni was a huge star in the UFC at that time, huge character. But yes, he was walking around the MGM Grand in his bathrobe, which meant he must have had one of those suites that came with a bathroom. Anyway, he was walking around the casino floor with it. And then after the fight, he was still doing it. He was still in his slippers and bathroom down on the casino floor, but now he's all beat to hell. It was our guy.
You know,
it was our guy that beat him up. But I got to tell War just for the audience real fast, because War is the worst game in Vegas. It was only at one casino, which was the MGM Grand. They only had one table of it. And by War guys, that's just like you would play as a kid. There's the cards. You flip, the dealer flips. Whoever has the higher card wins. There's no thought to it whatsoever. But if you tie, if they flip a king and you flip a king, you must double your bet and go again. But if you win that bet, you don't get double your money. You only get your money. So that is what changes the odds, where there are bets and scenarios where you have to put twice as much to make half as much. And that is why it is, odds-wise, the worst game in Vegas, which is why there was only one table at one casino. And it's not there today. They've actually done away with it. You and I knew that information. We were told that information by the dealer. The dealer is the one that broke it down for us. Why do you guys come here to my table?
We kill them.
The war, love war.
Where did you come up with skin it?
From you, I think. Skin it. Isn't that what you do when you flip a card over?
I have no idea. I want to take credit for that, because you would just say skin it, and you would keep your money out there over and over.
Yeah, let it ride.
I would beg you, man, pull it back. It's $450. That's $900. Boom, you'd win.
But even with them telling us straight up, don't play here. This is the worst odds and the worst games. There's a reason nobody plays it. It's like, yeah, guys, I hear everything you're saying. This is so fun. There is no thought. It's like a slot machine. I mean, you just pull and go. You flip, I flip. They got Pinyao poker. So I can't even pronounce it. What's that thing John Smith always wanted to play?
Pai Gao
poker. I don't know how to play it. I mean, there's pieces and there's anything. You can check this card and that card can be added to yours. And if there's a I just don't know the game.
Dude, that
war table. You don't have to know anything.
That war table was like an ATM for me. I'd be on a losing streak playing blackjack. I'd go pick up $400 at the ATM playing war.
Yeah.
You know, I'd bet whatever the max was.
When I would go to war too. If I was in a jam for money, I would go to war. And then I would take it back to craps because it's a faster game. I like the fast, but I never win at craps, but I like it.
Yeah, they
roulette,
got rid of it.
Here, I'll tell you one that you probably roll your eyes. I can win at roulette all night long. You want to make a bunch of money, come to roulette, just do what I do. All night long, I could win on roulette. And I know what you're thinking, then, Chael, why don't you just go play roulette? I don't like it. It's too goddamn slow.
You did last time we were there together.
I will win on – I've got a system on roulette. I'll win all day long. I go first 12, second 12, third 12. They pay 2-1, so I put two bets out there.
Now,
one's
you quit gambling. You don't gamble anymore.
No, one's guaranteed. Nah, I mean, I'm not against them, like anti-gamble, but no, I do not gamble.
God, you used to have a fever back
then. I mean, it's not like a thing. I mean, if I did go gamble, by example, I wouldn't have to, like, come to you and go, oh, yeah, I got to confess. I can't. Nah, I just – I just don't. I used to really enjoy it. I just don't enjoy it as much anymore. But I do like a fast game. If we're going to play something, let's play something that's moving. So yeah, there's hustling and shit. There's got to be something going on. See, that was my problem with slots. If I went and played slots, I had to play two slots at a time. You know, I couldn't stand the pause in between what, you know, the thing circling around and then it's trying to tally up. And then if you win, your tokens are great. It was too slow. So I would have a hand on two different machine. Pull. Let's go.
Back in the day, what was the fight? There was a fight that brought us back from the dead. We were skinned out.
Matt Hughes versus Carlos Newton.
No. It was Hughes versus BJ Penn.
Okay.
You had BJ Penn. Matt said BJ Penn's going to win this fight. Matt doesn't know anything about gambling. But you had that. But you bet like $350, and it paid 2-1.
Okay, I remember that. I just thought that was Newton versus Hughes. But you could be right. But I'll tell you one that got you back. Don't you remember? It was two boxers.
Oh yeah, we went to it.
You went
Costa
to it.
Costa Zoo and Zab Judah,
and Costa Zoo upset him.
That was the night after when we cornered Linlin.
Yes,
he fought Baroni.
That's right,
and. That's when I knew, hey, man, there's something to this UFC thing. The UFC, the night before, that must have been a Friday somehow.
Yeah, UFC used to play Friday nights. Pay-per-views used to be Friday.
And so that was the card where Randy fought Pedro for the second time. Linlin beat up Baroni. Evan beat Homer Moore. And Josh Barnett was in our locker room, and he beat up Bobby Hoffman. Everybody won in that locker room. The next night, I go... to Costa Zoo, who was a multiple-time champion, and he's supposed to get drummed up by Zab Judah. I had cool guy seats the night before. I was actually in Linlin's corner with you. I was watching my parlays while I was his corner guy. And they outdrew him. The UFC outdrew him. I was like, whoa, this is pretty big.
Yeah.
This is pretty big. Yeah, we were on a run. That's when $3,000 was a lot of money.
I like Friday night UFCs, by the way. I miss Friday night UFCs. That was a good night for pay-per-view.
You mentioned the bowl games this weekend.
Uh-huh.
You've got Clemson versus Notre Dame, yep, given a bunch of points. And then you have Alabama, who may be the best team in the last 20 years, playing Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's getting like 14 points.
Yeah, well, and don't forget, I mean, the big storyline on that, because to your point, yes, Alabama's supposed to run through them and everybody else, but they have lost to Oklahoma the last three times. I mean, it's like Detroit on Thanksgiving. I mean, they just have this thing.
Well, what Alabama has, other than just half their team is going to play in the pros, they may have to play their backup quarterback. Well, their backup quarterback was 29-1 as a starter before he lost his job to the runner-up in the Heisman this year. So they're loaded. They're loaded. I don't like anybody getting 14 points. I wouldn't take 14 points. I think it's a trap bet. One of those bets, either Clemson versus Notre Dame, the underdog, is not only going to cover, but is going to win. So box it up and bet the dogs. Take the points and bet the dogs.
There you go.
Can you tell me something?
Yeah.
Are the Diaz brothers ever going to fight again?
Yeah, okay, so that's an interesting one.
I keep running back at you. I know you're friends.
Oh, I got
them.
A Diaz story for you.
Please,
I haven't told you this. This is simple. This is so simple, but every time I think about it, I just start laughing. So I'm in Hawaii last week, and Brittany goes down and gets coffee in the morning, Starbucks. And she comes up and she says, hey, Diaz is in town. And I say, well, which one? And she goes, I don't know. She goes, I've never known. I can't tell them apart, but either Nick or Nate is here. I go, well, how do you know? That's how Brittany tells the story. That you got to ask 20 questions. Right? How do you know? She goes, well, he was in line with me at Starbucks. I go, well, did you visit with him? Did you say hi? And she goes, no, I was nervous too. I didn't know if he would know who I was. I didn't say anything. And she said, but I ordered my coffee, and it ended up being Nate Diaz. And then he got up to the counter. So... this is so simple. This is so simple. This is how Nate ordered his coffee. Are you ready? So Brittany gets out of the way. Nate's next. It's Nate's turn. Guess what he says to the barista?
Coffee.
I'll take a coffee, almond milk,
Do they have almond milk?
I have no idea. That was the order, though. Like, he didn't know coffee lingo. He didn't know to say, I will take a short, I will take a flat, I'll take a grande.
You do great imitations. Do you do a Nate Diaz?
I really don't have one, but all I know is he said, I'll take a coffee. And then he paused and said, almond milk.
All right, man. Are these guys ever going to fight
again? Is there anything on that? Is that funny?
There's nothing on
it. There's not a lot on
it.
Can you
tell me?
I just thought it was funny that he didn't know to say grande or he... I just thought it was funny.
Out of all the people that you throw bombs at, and you throw bombs at everybody in this world other than Daniel Cormier and the Diaz brothers, there's something, they've got something on you. They're like the Russians and Trump. There's something.
Collusion?
There's some collusion with the Diaz brothers. Come on, man. Dude, are they that rich? Do they not need to fight?
Yeah. No, I wonder that same thing. I do not know. I think it's very clear that Nate is going to fight again just because he agreed to fight Dustin Poirier. And even though all hell broke loose, and well, I guess Dustin ended up getting hurt. While hell was breaking loose, Dustin ended up getting hurt. But I tend to think that one's already obvious and done. But now they're saying that Nick Diaz is fighting George Masvidal. Now, I realize he has come out and said, no, I'm going to Bellator. I'm not doing that. I hear all of those things. But a contract is signed and a date is set for Diaz versus Masvidal. That's all I can share with you. And if you were to go look at Nick's history, and Nate does some of this as well, they will then, even when it's signed and they're training and they're fully planning to go through with it, say that they're not and throw a wrench in at the last minute and keep everybody guessing. And I don't know if it is it's fantastic marketing. Here we are talking about it, but and so do many other people. I just don't know if it is an intentional marketing or if it's absolutely these guys are unintentional geniuses. I just know every swerve and everything they do leading up to a fight is fantastic promotion. I just think they do it on accident. I don't think they mean for it to be. I mean, go look. You want to see one of the finest pieces of in MMA marketing history was Nick Diaz not showing up to the press conference opposite George St. Pierre. So it's only a three-man booth, okay? They don't have the whole card up there. It was George on one side, Dana in the middle, and to be Nick on the other side, which turns into an empty chair, at which point Dana calls Caesar Gracie and says, where the hell is Nick Diaz? And then even says, I'm going to cancel this fight. If I can't count on him to show up to media, I can't count him on fight day. We're going to move on with somebody else. And he meant it. What ended up happening is SportsCenter ran it. Levitard ran it, and Jim Rome ran it. It turned, Dana's looking back, going, I can't get this kind of media. I can't get this kind of attention. You know, FS1, they did three different shows on the empty chair and Dana calling Caesar Gracie. So it was unintentionally the single greatest piece of, what could have Nick Diaz done at the press conference to be better than that? That would have gotten more attention. I mean, pull out a joint and light it up right out there on stage. No, nothing. Not showing up ended up working better than had he shown up. So if you ask what they're going to do, man, I got no idea. I don't have inside scoop. I do not have inside scoop. When I talk to Nate, he says to me the same stuff that you read about in the man. I don't know if I'm going to do it. It's like, well, Nate, the fight's in 2 weeks. Your co-main event. It's MSG. Yeah, man, these guys, they keep messing with me. It's like, okay, Nate, the fight's in 2 weeks, which means you're on a plane in a week. Are you getting on that airplane? We'll see what happens. Like, I don't know. I have no. It is to the point, Joel, I don't ask him anymore because I don't come out of it any more armed than when I went into it. Like, when I talk to him, it's just, hey, what are you doing? How's everything going? How was your coffee and almond milk? I mean, that's it. I don't ask him, are you going to fight Poirier? Because I'll get the same answer direct from him in a private manner that you could just get on the internet from some media source.
All right. Let me ask you this. I like this. I'm just going to run stuff by you. So, couple times.
Almond milk? See, it's funny. There's something on it. There's something on it.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Podcast One would like to congratulate Adam Carolla for being one of 2018's most downloaded podcasts.
You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win.
And Jordan Harbinger for being one of 2018's most downloaded new podcasts.
So it was like this small niche community of people that knew about podcasting, and that's what we started building from there.
Thank you for tuning in. And check out new episodes of The Adam Carolla Show and The Jordan Harbinger Podcast every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
College football bowl season is in full effect, and the big games are happening this weekend. As you've heard us say many times before, the only place to get in on all the action is with our friends at betonline.ag. And don't forget, it's the holiday season, and betonline.ag is in the giving spirit with two incredible promotions. Go to betonline.ag, create a free account, use the promo code podcast1, that's podcast O-N-E, and receive a 50% sign-up bonus. And take advantage of their refer-a-friend program, where you can give a 200% bonus to your friend, up to $200. It's all about college football this week, as these huge bowl games are coming your way. In the Alamo Bowl, Iowa State takes on Washington State, with the betonline.ag line of Washington State -3.5. The Peach Bowl has a great matchup as Florida versus Michigan, with Michigan favored -7.5 points. And then the spotlight on Saturday night starts off with the Cotton Bowl, where Notre Dame will be facing Clemson. Clemson is favored by 11, followed by the Orange Bowl, with Alabama taking on Oklahoma. Alabama favored by 14. Go online, use your mobile phone, and sign up today, and try in-game live betting, where you can participate on all the action with every play. When signing up, use the promo code podcast1. You will receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Now, back to your welcome with Chael Sonnen.
All right, a couple of shows ago, I don't know when it was, I was telling you you're a Dumbo. 165 is never going to be a division. It's never going to be a division. And then, you know, Ben Askren, he's all over the place. He's all over the place, and he listens to the show. And I want to know if he's got scoop that he's not letting on. So anyway, he starts politicking that his next fight, whether it's against Marty from Nebraska, who I believe is Usman, even though he has a fight lined up with Robbie Lawler.
Wait, hold on a second. What's going on? He calls Usman Marty from Nebraska?
I was
going
to ask, yeah, what does that mean?
He says, I have no idea. That's
he
hilarious.
He says he knows him from collegiate wrestling days. He said he was an all right guy, but he was Marty from Nebraska. And he says this Nigerian bit is a gimmick.
Wait, what?
But buddy, I'm just telling you.
Okay, but I got to, you tried to blow past this. Stay here for a second. Kamaru Usman is working a stage name? His name's Marty?
According to Ben. Now, I don't know what that means. You're Ben, you and Ben, you guys are boys. So anyway, so he's talking about this whole time.
No, just please, hold on. Before you move on from this, hold on. There's only one of two things happening here. Either Kamaru Usman is a stage name, and his name is Marty, of which there's something on. I don't know what's there, but there's something there. Or Askren has made that up completely, which would also be very brilliant. I mean, I would love to just start going and go, oh, and by the way, his real name is, and then call him Marty from Nebraska. I mean, that's a very brilliant. I don't know who the genius is here. Either Ben for finding this out and revealing it, or for Ben making the whole thing up from the beginning. I don't know. But we need to get to the bottom of this Marty from Nebraska. I mean, that could catch on. That's a shirt right there. Bad Guy Ink will make a shirt on that.
Marty from Nebraska.
Marty from Nebraska's funnier than hell.
I like, okay, I thought you would know. So anyway, Ben, even though he's got Robbie Lawler signed, sealed, and delivered, is politicking to fight either Colby, because he knows T. Wood's out for a minute, or Marty from Nebraska, who...
We gotta get to the bottom of this! What is this about, Marty from Nebraska?
Call Ben.
I'm gonna call Ben. All right, you go ahead. Right, you go with the show, I'm gonna get to the bottom of it.
I'm gonna stay on this for a while. Get Ben on the phone. So I watch all Ben's stuff. I read all Ben's stuff. And it looks to me, Ben is politicking for an interim belt in his boy T. Wood's weight, of which he has said over and over and over again, we will never fight. So he's on Ariel's show a couple weeks ago. He's doing this whole Marty from Nebraska bit, and
I can't believe you were going to gloss right over this.
Ariel,
Marty
well, I
from
thought
Nebraska
you would know. How
is,
would you, he's,
that
he's,
is hilarious.
He said it 100 times.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So
if I would have heard Marty from Nebraska, I wouldn't have even tied it into Usman. I wanted to you just try Marty from Nebraska. Saying, who's what am I forgetting? Who's Marty from Nebraska? That means Kamaru Usman?
I believe so.
Okay, this is funny.
All right, so let me get to my bigger point.
Okay. There can't be a bigger point than Marty from Nebraska.
Marty from Nebraska.
You know what Marty from Nebraska will take? Coffee.
With almond milk?
Milk.
Do they have almond milk? They have to have
no
almond milk.
No one knows.
All right. So he says, well, what if you were to get an interim belt, would you fight T-Wood for the championship? He says no, but he also says we've got that all figured out. As soon as he said that, I smell the rat. And that rat, unless Ben's just off his rocker, which he may be, there may be a 165-pound championship coming down the pipeline. If Askren could get in a interim championship, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you trying to figure that out? All right, I'll keep talking while you're going on, unless you got something.
No, I've sent the message to Ben. I hope to get an update. If he's not in practice, we'll have an update for this show. But I can't get over this. Marty from Nebraska, that's funnier than hell.
But you got to get over it. We can't get to the next topic, which is,
now,
is there going to be
when you okay, you but hold, I just got to go with what you said to me. Here's what your words were. Marty from Nebraska, that's what the name he used to run wrestle under. But then you said, these are your words, that this whole Nigerian angle is a bit.
Coming from Ben.
Now, I understand that. But what I'm asking is, are we saying part of the Nigerian angle is the name of Kamaru Usman, or are we trying to make a claim that he is not from Nigeria?
I don't know.
Okay, cause, I mean, you see how that would be.
You're the inside guy. You talk to Ben. I don't know anything other than when I listened to this interview, Ben was on Ariel's show. He called him Marty. I've seen Marty from Nebraska in his tweets. I'm like, who's
that's
he?
That's just hilarious.
Who's
for
he?
One.
Who's he talking about? And then he said, "Hey, I don't have a problem with, Marty from Nebraska, but that's a gimmick."
Yeah, okay, but that's what I'm saying. Is it the name that's a gimmick? Your words to me were that the whole Nigerian thing was a gimmick. Like, I don't know what Kamar's ethnicity and his roots are, but I do know for sure he is a black man. So if we're trying to claim that he is not a black man, there is also a level of fun. Don't forget, I'm the one that gave that pro wrestler that angle on the airplane where he blew me off. Sheamus,
okay,
who's like the whitest guy.
That.
Do you know who Sheamus is?
Yeah,
like the whitest guy ever?
Is. Yeah.
He's the redhead, but for the audience that doesn't, he's like a real Irish guy. He couldn't get a tan if he wanted to. I mean, he's like this really white. And I told him he should work an angle where he says he's black. And I got that because you'll remember when One Man Gang did that, where he came out as, what was he, Kareem, the African Dream? What was it? It wasn't Kareem.
I have no idea.
I'm the African dream.
The only thing in my head right now is Marty from Nebraska. Did Ben go rogue on us? And is that just a bit?
I have no idea. All I know is Marty from Nebraska for Kamaru Usman is the funniest thing ever. Is there ever been anything more? How did this go under my radar?
Yeah, when you got busted before, when Rome busted you about a Spanish guy saying the bit with Lance Armstrong.
Sure.
And you were like, yeah, that wasn't me.
Hispanic accent.
Yeah, yeah. No, that wasn't me at all.
No.
That was funny.
When he's playing it and it's me.
Yes. That would beat, barely would that beat, that would only beat, that would
Marty
only
from
beat,
Nebraska.
That would only
there.
Beat Marty from Nebraska if it's all made up.
Sure.
If he doesn't know who Usman is, if they were never wrestling. I don't know where Usman wrestled, do you? I mean, obviously,
no.
He wrestled somewhere and was really, really good.
Yeah. Well, he was JUCO, but he was the champ. And I don't know where. Well, I mean, I guess it was in Nebraska. I mean, there's pieces of this has to be where he wouldn't just put a fake state and a fake name on him. Or would he? I don't know. We got to get to the bottom of this. I don't know. But I would love to know what the gimmick is. Because if it's just the Marty from Nebraska, but that's not what you said. You said that it was the whole Nigerian thing.
So I am not mixing this up.
No, I'm not accusing you of that. What I'm saying is, if he's then going to claim that he's also not Nigerian, how far does that go? Does that to also claim he's not even black? Like, oh, no, this is just a work? Like, wait a minute. There's a lot going on here to unpack. And if I'm going to understand the bit, I have to get to the bottom of that.
I want you to. I don't know why it's flown over.
Akeem, the African Dream. That was Vince's creation.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know what the name is.
Stay on Marty from Nebraska.
No, I'm all over Marty. I'm going to make a shirt. I'm going to make a shirt tonight. It's going to say Marty from Nebraska, Bad Guy Inc. it's the greatest thing ever.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, FYI, I will tell you, if you want to look at hard fights for Ben Askren, I think that there's two.
Marty from Nebraska?
Yes, I do. I do think that the way Kamaru Usman matches up with him, I think that's a hard fight. In certain positions, Ben could dominate him, but I think that's a hard fight. And I also think Colby Covington is a hard fight. But I also think, set those ones aside because there were, I also think that Lawler, anybody that believes that Robbie Lawler was brought in to make Ben look good, is just not following Robbie Lawler. I mean, I'll just mention that to you. And I think I mentioned that for two reasons. One, because Lawler deserves credit for being the only guy that will jump on that grenade. And two, should Ben beat Robbie, I want Ben to make sure he gets the credit for taking out a legend.
Out of all of the people that Ben blew up when it was rumored he was coming in.
The only one he didn't was Robbie.
And the only one that said, I'll fight him. Until he was booked for a fight. As soon as he was booked for a fight, everybody will fight him. No, Mike Perry said he'd fight him. But Ben was, Ben said, you're not getting that fight.
Right.
Let's get over to...
Well, I don't think you finished that thought. I think where you were going with that was he blew up everybody, and the only one that said he'd fight him is Robbie, and that was the only fight. It's like, wait a minute. Ben has thrown shade on everybody here except one guy.
See, this is why
Robbie.
This is why we work well together, because...
You have the idea, and I could finish the thought for you.
Well, yeah, because there's so much rattling upstairs.
Yeah.
There's so much... Rattling.
That's all right. You got notes. I like that you have notes.
How else would I...
How would we remember it?
How would you have a restaurant?
Writing things that you got to have a pan.
Got to have a pan.
Everybody knows that.
I believe Tony Ferguson... I've been watching your bits. I've been listening to your show. I've got over the jealousy and not being on it and, you know...
Appreciate that.
But a little bit. Not... As a matter of fact, I might stab you with a pen. I believe Tony Ferguson's the best fighter pound for pound in the world. I think he is the best 55-pounder. I think he would be the best 70-pounder. I'm not sure he's not the best 185-pounder. That guy, years ago when Diaz was getting his run, when you were like, I would watch him, he would give these interviews, and it would look like madness. But then he would say something, and it'd make me go back and figure out, what in the hell did he just say? Tony Ferguson, after he comes out of a horrific, horrific knee injury, of which he trains himself. He is his own personal trainer. He beats a world champion, a former world champion in Anthony Pettis. Looks great. In his interview, he says the magic brilliance, that the only thing real in this world is pain, because you can feel it. Love, happiness. All of that shit's made up. So when he's in a fight and he feels pain, he's happy. We were close. You were out in Hawaii saying, man, we got Max Holloway agreeing to fight Big Ferg. We're going to get that fight. And now the only one saying, I'll fight, I've signed a bout agreement, is Tony Ferguson. Can we get him a fight, people? We lose so many fights.
Wait, excuse me. You lost me. You lost me at the very end of this. I love where you're going with it. But are you telling me that Tony Ferguson is now... He said I signed a bout agreement for who? For Max?
No, he said he didn't say who.
Oh, he said I signed a bout agreement.
But yeah, but whoever he signed that bout for did not sign it back.
And I can tell you now it would not be for Max. I don't think. And the only reason I offer you that is Max got out of the ring 2 weeks ago. I just don't think they'd hit him up and have a fight for him that quick. And oh, by the way, you're changing weight classes. Oh, and by the way, you're taking on... the guy that was world champion and never lost his belt. I don't think they would do that to him that fast. So let's speculate here. So Tony Ferguson is claiming he has a bout agreement signed. Who the hell would it be against? Dana has come out recently and said, I wanted to fight Connor. No, he did not.
He wanted him to fight Max.
Well, but right before that, he wanted him to fight Khabib. That's what it was. And he wanted Connor to fight Poirier. That was Dana's plan. And then came the Max. Yeah, I guess maybe it would be Max, because it certainly isn't Khabib or Connor, since those guys don't have licenses right now.
Yeah,
maybe it is Max.
I was blowing up your phone, man. Do whatever you can to make this fight. As you said, the one fight you want to see more than anybody would be Daniel and John Jones. The one fight that I want to see is Max Holloway versus Tony Ferguson, or Tony Ferguson versus anybody. I think he's that good, and he's proved it. I don't think he's lost in 4 years.
Hey, I'm all over that fight. I mean, you'll be making my holiday if you tell me that fight's done. I just don't think they could get that done with Max that quickly. And it's also interesting to me that bout agreements went out. I mean, the way that generally works, hey, you want to fight this guy, you want to fight this guy, yeah, okay, done. So then when you send out the actual bout agreement and one side doesn't sign, that is a little bit peculiar.
Well,
it's like, wait a minute,
Connor
who said yes and didn't get to the fax machine?
It couldn't have been Connor, and it couldn't have been Khabib, because
they're
on suspension.
Right.
So that leaves Max. It's not Poirier, because Poirier's been saying, I want that fight. Tony's been saying, no, kid, you're not ready yet. I like how he uses kid. So I think the only person it could be is Max, which means Max is like, yeah, I'm just not ready yet. Not that he's Max scared of him or anything. I'm not ready to fight on that date that you want us to fight at.
I have a couple of problems with it out of the gate. Selfishly, yes, I want that fight. So bad. Oh, my goodness. How much fun. But to ask Max Holloway to go up to 155 to take on a contender, no matter whether the top contender in the form of this, he's taking on a contender, okay? To do that, he has to relinquish a championship at 145. I think it's a very big ask, and I don't think there should be any pressure put on Max. And I don't know if there is being, but I'm just saying, us as fans, I don't think we should put any pressure on Max to do that.
Yeah, we should.
The narrative
as a fan,
not as
you being the cool guy broadcaster for everything and politically correct, but for me as a fan that have watched, I've already the Diaz Connor fight that I petitioned for almost a year. Man, that's gone. We're never going to see that fight. You talked about the last show how you wanted to see Holly and Ronda fight. That fight's gone. We lose more fights than we get. So the only fight and the only way we're going to get it is if the million people that were listening to you before I came on and the half a million people that are listening now, okay, go crazy, go batshit crazy and say, we need that fight, we want that fight.
Okay.
I'm so sick of, you did a bit on the money fight and how bullshit the money fight is. And you thought that we were over that. We're not over it. We're not over it because nobody is saying, hey, I will fight him. That's a fight that makes sense. The biggest fight out there to make right now is Tony Ferguson against Max Holloway. Because nobody can tell me who wins that fight.
Okay. You're winning me over to what you just said, and I like where you're coming with that a lot. I want to offer you this side of it. From a guy that's had to make decisions in the sport and comes to you and goes, how should we handle this? This just isn't the general stance that you would take. If this were me in that spot, by example, somebody that you know, I think that you would say, listen, Chael, you're about to take on a much harder competition in Tony Ferguson. You're about to move up a weight class to do it, which you have not fought in that weight class before, so you don't fully know how you're going to perform. You're going to have to do it for 25 minutes because they are going to make that a main event fight. Oh, and by the way, you're stepping down either way, because if you beat Tony Ferguson, you are no longer world champion. You're not world champion of that weight class, and the second you get in there with Tony Ferguson, you're no longer world champion in your current weight class. If you lose to Tony Ferguson, you are now not even on track to be world champion in this new weight class. Oh, and by the way, you are not any longer world champion in your weight class. So I just think my premise to you is this. Would I like that fight selfishly? You bet I would. I do not think that Max should have to have any pressure put on him because the narrative that was out there that Max Holloway has weight issues and doesn't make weight is false. That was rewritten. He missed a weigh-in. He was pulled from even attempting to weigh in the Khabib fight. He did not get to the scale and fail to make weight. The commission looked at him, made a decision, and pulled him, and that was met with some controversy. In the first Brian Ortega fight, he had whatever issue he had, which the best we have been told was water poisoning, but he never even got to the scale. In fact, he was 3 days away from the scale. In fact, everybody that talked about that and was close to his camp said, no, man, he was on track. Making weight wasn't going to be an issue. We weren't given the opportunity. Somewhere along the way became a narrative that he was struggling to make the weight. We have not seen that. So all I'm saying is that he has not forfeited his ability to still form his own opinion and make his own decision on 145 and to live the life. And it's a very short-lived, time-sensitive window of opportunity that he has to walk around into media opportunities with a 12-pound gold around his waist as world champion. I just don't think somebody should take it from him.
Okay, nobody. Let's just listen to – that's bullshit. Everything you just said is 100% bullshit. I understand that you have to talk bullshit a lot. You have to be politically correct. I do not at all. Max is a killer. He beat a great, he smashed, he demolished a great, great, great fighter in Brian Ortega. Comes out, comes to the podium, and says, hey, I'll go to 55. I like to eat. I'll fight Daniel Cormier. Let these guys fight. Let Tony Ferguson and Max Holloway, their dance cards are open. We don't know. Maybe the inside men know, have an idea when Connor's going to come back. He's come out and said he's throwing bombs. I could care less about that. Staying on the money fight, the best fight to make in the world right now is Tony Ferguson against Max Holloway. You don't have to do anything other than look at these guys haven't lost in 4 years. A piece. We're talking 10 pounds. I guarantee within right now at this exact time, they're within 6 pounds of each other. Okay, 6 pounds ain't nothing. That's zero. Max is probably walking around at a $185. At max, Tony's walking around at a $192. Max. Those guys need to fight. That's a fight we need to see because you know what's going to happen? If they mix it up any other way and shit goes south, we'll never see that fight. The best fight to make in MMA right now is Tony Ferguson against Max Holloway.
Okay. I don't think what you said is false, but I also don't think it needs to discredit what I'm saying, which is simply, if you can be the best in the world at your chosen sport, anything in the world, but if you could be the best for 30 days, oh my gosh, that's a long time. So if you can be the best for some of these guys, 2 and 3 years, George St. Pierre, 15-year run, the best. I mean, this is a remarkable, remarkable achievement. I would not want Max unilaterally and against his own free will to relinquish a single second that he has earned to be the champion of the world. So, Joel, hold on, please. So what I would suggest is what you're saying with a caveat that he is moving up to make a super fight, but don't strip him. He needs to be able to be the world champion and return for that championship, which then creates problems with your fellow 145-pounders that are saying, God damn it, you're holding up an entire division. So you got to get on with it some way, which I think the interim belt would be appropriate. I like interim belts. All I'm suggesting for you is this.
I'm glad you said that. I don't think you have to do one to do the other. You don't have to take his championship away.
No, and I would hope that you wouldn't, but you do see the other problem that creates. There's other guys with dreams in that division that are getting held up. I mean, we can't just do that to guys all the time. So that's where the stripping does come in. And then what happens? I mean, let's just play this thing through a little bit. Is that a great fight? Yes, I think that it is. You're playing checkers instead of chess. I think that that's also appropriate at times. But let's now take it from checkers and make it a chess game where you've got to be 2 and 3 steps ahead, Joel. If Max is going to move up, a sitting and reigning dominant world champion is going to move to 155 pounds to take on a world champion who doesn't have the belt anymore but also never lost, you go ahead and figure that one out on your own. Can you at least guarantee me, the fan, that if he wins, or if Tony, whoever wins, is officially for sure the number one contender, is going to go and fight for the belt? Because if you can't promise me that, and I don't know at 155 pounds that you can make that promise right now when your sitting champion and your current number one contender are both without licenses. So I don't think you could make me that promise because you don't know what we're going to do. So allow me to paint this scenario for you. Max Holloway moves up. Max Holloway gets the jump on Tony Ferguson. Max Holloway is no longer the world champion at 145 pounds. Oh, and by the way, he's no longer the champion at 155 pounds. Oh, and by the way, he's not even getting the shot to try. I think that that is a very big ask, unless you are somehow lining a guy's pocket, unless you are somehow doing something, putting some form of commodity in there that he can see greater than the commodity of his own accomplishments and the longevity of his own legacy that he earned. I think that you've got to have a conversation, and it may be as simple as, don't take the strap from me. I won't hold it up for long. I'll do this fight. I'll get right back in there with somebody. Don't take the strap from me. If I win, take the belt from me. Take it right then. Oh, and by the way, I've got to be given a chance to earn the same title at this new weight class, of which they've got 5 goddamn guys that have a claim to the number one championship. They've got 3 guys that have a rightful claim to the undisputed championship.
They have one guy, and his name is Tony Ferguson.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So Khabib is walking around with the belt. He's only lost one round in his life and never lost a fight. no end in sight, but he's without a license. You got Tony Ferguson that was the world champion that never lost the world championship. He's got a claim to the belt, too.
So where
the hell does Max fit in? That's all I'm asking is let's just get a little bit of clarity. If you're going to have a guy give up his belt.
The words come out of your face so well that it's hard to argue with you. But the fact is, it's a lot simpler than that. You can call it chess or checkers, chess or parcheesi. It doesn't matter. Tony Ferguson won a belt. It was an interim belt. You just run that back. He's got, okay, this is for the interim belt. Let's go. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. But I want to commend Tony Ferguson for saying, yeah, let's go do that. I'm not waiting for Khabib. I'm not waiting for Conor. I need to fight. I am in the prime of my career. I need to fight. And that's something to talk about, too. He's not running away from anything. Give me a fight. Give me a fight with Max right now. I say we do it. Matchmaker, Joel. On. Did you find out about Marty from Nebraska?
Here's the one thing I will say on this, if I can have the final word. And the final word is I want you to be right. I want for what you're saying to be exactly what happens. I'm on your side of this thing. I truly am, because I also get very selfish as a fan. And you have two guys that have a pace that wilts opponents. You have two guys that bring the same intangible weapon that nobody can see through the screen of their television, and only a fellow fighter or a fellow competitor is going to be able to recognize what it is that those athletes are doing. And of course, I'm talking about the pace. So when you bring those guys, there's nobody at 145 that can keep up with Max. There's nobody at 155 outside of Khabib that could keep up with Tony, just alone on pace. So to get those guys together to nullify that and to see this kind of a super match, I am all for. But to imagine that Max Holloway's next fight from a marketing standpoint will come with posters and billboards that also have the belt. And they love that from a marketing standpoint. We have seen that. That is why we have had the creation of the interim title, so that you can make sure you've got a belt on the line somewhere. You're going to take that away. You're going to put him against Ferg. It's got to be a main event. I can't even imagine, even on a pay-per-view, that being a co-main event. I couldn't even imagine. So you're going to walk the same guy out there, but shoot yourself in the foot for your ability to market. Unless, Joel, and here might be the answer right now. Now that we've worked through this, I might have just come up with the solution. If your number one guy, your champion Khabib, and your number one contender being Conor McGregor are both without licenses, by God, you have to get on with that division somehow. So if you can move, Tony Ferguson has the rightful claim to that fight. Dustin Poirier would have a claim. Ally Aquinta would have a claim. I don't have a problem if you want to say Kevin Lee had a claim even coming off of this loss. That is murderer's row, and those guys are all going to beat one another. And yes, some of them are going to go into the finals with a loss. That is true. But if you're telling me you could insert Max versus Tony, and you're telling me your champ and the number one contender and the sport's biggest draw are without licenses, it would make all the sense in the world to either do that fight for the interim championship or to do that fight for the belt. I don't know. Can you have a champion who is without a license and on suspension for a calendar year? You may be fine. What is the history on that? When John Jones, he went into suspension with the belt. They took the belt, right?
Immediately.
They took it immediately. I don't think you can have a champion on suspension for any reason.
Did they take it, they just gave it to your boy, DC, which is, I was fine.
Is that true?
It. Yeah, he didn't win it. I mean, he won it against Anthony Johnson the first time. But the second time
that was a failed drug test. So the fight defaulted to a no contest. So under the rules of the commission, not under policy.
Okay.
But this is relevant. Not under the policy of the promotion. That was rule of commission. Because the fight is a no contest, the fight did not happen. Because it did not happen, you rewind the tape the best that you can, which is to mean whoever was the champion walking into it leaves with the championship. So that's what happened there. But that might be the situation. I would argue that possibly that fight does not even be for the interim title, that it be for the undisputed title, and you would have to strip Khabib.
At this point, it's semantics anyway. You know, when Khabib comes back, whenever it is, he's going to fight for the undisputed championship. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you call that fight. Make the fight happen.
Well, in some ways. I mean, now you're taking another direction. But I don't know that you're right. I mean, Tony went out without losing and without being suspended. When he came back, he did not get a championship fight. Now, there was moving parts. There was reasons that he didn't. You had a whole bunch to. I think, let's leave it this. That would be very interesting. I would feel better on a human level as just being a human being. A fan in me, yeah, I'd love to see the fight. On a human level, if you could find a way to not strip Max, or at least if you do strip him, to allow this to be for some kind of hardware. I just think that that's a fair piece. Max earned it. The narrative of him missing weight and having weight issues is false. And I would actually feel very bad if they took his belt through the power of the pen. That's all I got. You got anything else? You got a final thought?
No, not on that. I want to give a shout out to a lunatic, Dylan Plascio. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Okay.
Cornell.
The Cornell guy, and this is a guy that makes crazy videos, and one of his videos is a Halloween bit that got like 14.3 million views the last time I checked. So somehow, some way, Instagram took away his account, and he is now on a hunger strike. So what you need to do is go to at Green Toe Palacio, which is at GreenToe Palacio, which is PalaCio, and do whatever the hell he tells you so he'll eat a sandwich.
Don't be embarrassed about that. No one can spell Palacio.
Or say it.
Yeah, it's a hard name. Yeah, I will tell you, the only part I don't like about that is if they don't give him his account. At some point, he's got to have something to eat.
Well,
it's not worth dying over.
But no, and it's, well, doesn't at some point, if he is this crazy, which I believe he is, doesn't he just pass out and his family takes him to the ER and he gets an IV and start feeding him? I mean, what?
Man, let's hope so. I don't know. What do you have to do to get an Instagram account banned, by the way? I mean, what could
have
he possibly done?
I didn't even know.
Well, he went to Cornell. He's no dum-dum, so
well,
whatever
see, that
he
was
did,
the thing.
Right?
He was I was talking to him via the Twitter, and he was like, well, you know, what would I be if I wasn't a man of my word? And I was like, I don't know.
Hungry?
A young man that just
starved to death.
Ivy League education and, you know, good family and everything. Maybe you shouldn't starve yourself to death.
Let's take a second here to give a big shout out to our friends at TrueCar. With TrueCar, 60 seconds is all you will need to get an offer for your car. In the amount of time it takes you to floss your teeth or pet your dog or do a few sit-ups, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it right from your smartphone or even from home. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch as your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It is that easy. After that, bring in your car. They'll check it out with you. They'll ask you a few questions so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new car. When you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your vehicle, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer is not available in all areas. All right, here, let's let the audience in on one little thing. It is exactly 12:15 in the morning. In the morning, Friday morning. Joel and I have got to get out of this studio for security reasons. And I got to get to the airport. I have got to get to Vegas. The weigh-ins are in a number of hours. We'll be covering it at ESPN+. Make sure you check it out. Joel, you lean into the microphone. You got something to say?
So you're going to tell us on ESPN who Marty from Nebraska is.
I got to get to the bottom of this Marty from Nebraska. Ben did not write me back. And he will, but he did not do it in the course of this show. So we will have to get back. But there is something funny going on there. There is something brilliant going on there. I appreciate that you brought that piece of it. See, Joel, you should feel good about this. You've finally done something. Huh? You finally done something for a change. And I brought you the coffee story. Marty from Nebraska, I'll take a coffee.
Marty from Nebraska.
Almond milk.
Dylan, eat a sandwich, dum-dum.
And we will see you all
next year.
It will be next year, won't it? Also known as next Wednesday, but that will be next year. For Joel, I'm Chael, and you are welcome.
Baby.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Happy holidays from all your friends at Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
This is Heather Dubrow from Heather Dubrow's World.
Hey, it's Steve Austin from the Steve Austin Show.
Hey, this is Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana from Riggle's Picks.
This is Caitlin Bristow from Off the Vine.
Hey, this is Kelty from The Lady Gang. Happy holidays from Podcast One.